Welcome to another elegant episode of Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real faith, real talk. No, we're not.
Today we're going to be talking about our feelings.
Yeah, we're actually not going to be more professional, even though I feel like we look more professional. The chatter's still going to be just a bunch of nonsense and whimsy, as usual.
Do you know the podcast Two Bears in One Cave?
Yeah, is that what you're feeling like?
This totally is what we look like. Yeah. We look like two bears in one cave.
Yeah, this is a good look.
Wait, I'm Goldilocks, and you're the bear that ate all the soup?
yeah, that's it. I'm the bear that ate all the soup, you said. It's porridge, you ding-dong. Hey, I read something this week about how friends who... jovially talk down to each other actually have healthier relationships.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think that's biblical, but I read it in an article.
Do you think we have a healthier relationship because we always shoot shots?
Yeah, probably. That's probably why my mom likes you so much, since you always call her old.
I think I hurt her feelings.
She's going to come play cards with us tonight, I think, so you got to behave yourself.
I got to stop.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine.
I'm too. I don't know. It's my love language, man. Do you think it's really sinful to like playfully like joke around like that?
No, I don't think so. And I think it's all about intent of the heart, which we talk about this all the time. About everything we do should be about the intent of our heart. And so when we're joking around, having fun out of love, I don't think it's that bad. Do you remember when we were in Honduras with Phil the first time? Phil did not like that you, me, and Matt were kind of always ragging on each other, and he's like, you guys are just kind of rough with each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's a point where maybe we probably go too far. Yeah. But no, I don't think so. I actually agreed a lot with the article that I was reading, because a lot of my friends that I have the closest relationships with, we joke around like that. We kind of give each other a hard time. And the thing about that is they said that it builds trust and honesty. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really good. And then, so when you do have to say something that's kind of maybe a little more like not something somebody wants to hear, but you say it out of love, then they're more willing to take it from you because they've already been jabbed a couple times.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't think the act is inherently sinful, but I think it can get messy. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I think our hearts are deceitful.
I think so too, yeah.
So I think sometimes... You know, your friend ever, like, keep hitting you with the same joke over and over again, and it starts to become, like, a pattern, and you're like, I think, bro, like, he really thinks I'm weigh 472 pounds. He said that number specifically a lot.
Or like, maybe your friend is, like, just keeps hounding you about Zins all the time. Yeah. No, I know. I get it.
Let's break the news. I quit zinning, and now you have nothing bad to say.
That's right. I have nothing on you. There's nothing bad.
So now
I definitely need to lose weight because I need to catch up to what. Yeah.
I don't know. We were talking about this in Honduras. I think I can't remember where, but I think we weigh the same, bro.
It's possible,
which is crazy
because
you used to weigh a whole freaking honking ton.
I did,
but you know, I did too in high school. I was 350 pounds.
Yeah, I was 350 pounds at my highest, and I've lost a lot of weight. But I'm still hitting this plateau, you know, where I can't like
parasites.
I need to get some.
No,
like a tapeworm.
Ebola.
I need to get a tapeworm, dude. That'll tear me up.
Parasites, dude. Okay, so I go to church with this guy named Dennis. Super cool dude. First time I ever met him, first time he came to church after he's in his 60s, after like years, tens of years of not going to church,
cool.
was the day I got baptized. I was walking out in the parking lot wet, soaking wet, and I see the guy. But I went out to lunch with him on Sunday. We spent some time together at his house. Gosh, where was I going with that? Where did we start?
He had parasites?
No. Okay, so this guy's totally anti-parasite. He got into a crash, and his head got all messed up, and then he got cancer. He defeated his cancer by doing a parasite cleanse.
Whoa.
He says all cancers are parasites. Now, I don't know if he 100% believes this part of his theory, but he thinks demons are parasites. So he thinks...
What?
And you can maybe make a case for that.
Well, spiritual parasites.
No, seriously. You can maybe make a case from that because maybe Genesis isn't talking about a snake. Maybe it's talking, and parasites look like little snakes.
Nah.
But he was telling me parasites change the way you think, change the way you eat.
Okay. Yeah.
Like they get in your brain and mess your brain up.
I could definitely see how that has a demonic nature to it.
He also said if you feel like you can't lose weight, like you're doing everything, you can't lose weight, parasites.
So what do I do about that?
Wormwood.
Wormwood?
It may not be called wormwood, but it's something like that. He grows it in his yard. He, like, lives out in the forest, out in the middle of nowhere. Grows wormwood, like, all these herbs in his yard. Dude, he gave me pills. He gave me wormwood pills.
Okay.
Sealed. They were sealed.
Okay, okay.
60 of them. You take them for 60 days, one a day.
Okay.
Just these, like, they taste horrible. But I can literally feel, like, them doing stuff to my body. Like, my stomach. Have you ever, like, not ate for a while and your stomach, like, starts tensing up and it feels like it's flexing? It starts doing that as soon as I take the pill. I think, seriously, you should try a parasite cleanse. A real deal parasite cleanse
on top of
fasting.
Okay.
And it might be a parasite that's stopping you from going further.
Okay.
I'm serious.
I'll try it.
I know. I sound like a nut, dude.
No. Just you and RFK and this medicine man just come give me some brain worms to cleanse out my parasites or whatever. Yeah.
No,
I'm good.
Dude.
I'm good with it.
No, dude, I'll tell you, parasites are the Antichrist. We've made a lot of jokes about who or what the Antichrist is, but I'm serious. I think it's parasites.
I don't know, man. That's I'll try the parasite thing. If you think that might be the thing that's slowing
Bro,
me down.
TMI, my dumps have been horrible since I got back from Honduras.
Yeah.
Like just straight liquid, like fire fire hose, dude.
Did you drink the water?
I think it's from swimming in that pool, dude.
That
questionable pipe that was coming into the pool with water.
Yeah. After the fact, I was like, I don't know what makes the pool different than the other water. And I think the answer is nothing.
Chlorine.
I don't know how much was in there. It didn't smell very chloriney, if you remember.
It didn't smell bad, though. I don't know. That's but we true. Probably got parasites from that water,
we
too.
We probably did. So, yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
Good on parasites.
So... I had a really good day of prayer yesterday, praying with out on the square. It was awesome. Cool things happened. Prayed with a lot of cool people. Last week, I met this young guy, like 19 years old. Really cool. Was hoping to come back out again this week. He did not. But I did get to pray with like the chief of police, and we had an awesome prayer time with him. Prayed with this family that was just looking for peace. Prayed with this guy Jordan who walks around with carries a cross all across town. That was cool to get to pray with him. And then prayed with this lady who's gonna come to my church, and she saw me. She's like, "Hey, are you the guy from Zionsville Baptist Church?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "I've been trying to meet up with you." She's like, "Is your church Fivefold Ministry Church?" And I was like,
"Wait, what does that mean?"
We'll get to that. I think that's maybe a good talking point for today. I was just thinking about this. I was like, I think so. I kind of sort of made the same joke I do about Calvinism, where I was like, we're like 3.5, 4-point, fold ministry. So, I want to look it up so I get it exactly right. But fivefold ministry is kind of something that typically is more like people in the Pentecostal circles use that term a lot, but let me pull this up for you and give you just a breakdown of what it is. But basically, it's what Ephesians 4 calls for in like church leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The five roles are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So, do you remember I had a conversation with a guy at my church during Bible study, and I think you might have been there, about the term apostle and being like, anybody who calls himself an apostle, that's not biblical.
Yeah.
But then you go to Ephesians 4, and that word is in there. And so I'm like, I don't know. I kind of am changing my mind a little bit on that. Because it's fivefold ministry. So here's how they describe it. This is like the generic description, so I'll read this to you. Apostles, often seen as those who establish and govern the church with a focus on foundational teachings and leadership. So church planters, essentially, people who start ministries.
Or apostles?
Yeah. Which, biblical apostles were starting ministries all over the world. So I can see that.
Yeah.
Prophets, communicate God's message, often with a focus on discerning God's will and speaking truth. Doesn't say anything about speaking the future. But if you think about Old Testament prophets, they were just conveying God's message to people. And so, and we've seen the prophetic work in the church. We've also seen people use it wrong, and it's not good.
Yeah.
But when it's good, it's good. You know? Evangelists focus on spreading the gospel and reaching new people with the message of Jesus. Yep. Pastors, shepherds the church, caring for and nurturing the spiritual well-being of the congregation. And teachers, equip the church with knowledge of God's word, fostering spiritual growth and understanding. Yes. So those are all things that my church, I feel like, are growing into. We're not, I don't think we've got everything fully operational yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on it.
Like the Honduras airport.
Yeah. So this lady, hit me up. She's like, so is your church five full? And I said, we're working on it. We're not there yet, but God's working on us, and we're working on that calling. What does that look like? And I think where the hang up comes from is a lot of pastors feel like they have to be the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, probably the apostle in that sense of like, I'm starting all the ministries. I got to do this. I got to do that.
Yeah.
I got to have this program. I got to have that program. And then, I mean, in some ways, the prophetic too. So it's like that really needs to be kind of spread out and delegated better in the church. And we've talked about this ad nauseum here at this podcast. Like, we talk about it a lot, the delegation piece of pastoring. And I've been preaching this sermon series about it like the last 3 weeks. I'm getting ready to wrap it up this week. So I think we're on our way to that. All this to say, this lady came in. She was like, I'm looking for a new church. Not that my church is bad right now. I like the place I'm at, but I feel like God's calling me out of there to go somewhere where I can serve in a way that's like growing something that's not quite there yet. And I'm like, if fivefold ministry is your thing, like, you're really concerned about that and you're looking for somewhere where you can grow with the place, I would say try us out. Cause that's where we're at, is in that growth stage. I think.
How'd she respond?
She was very open to it. And she said she was probably gonna be there this week. And, she's like, the only thing is my husband said, I'll go with you wherever we go, but just not a Baptist church. And I said, sometimes when you say those things, that's how God works. And it's like, okay, well then that's exactly where you're going.
What church are they from?
We laughed. Well, they've been at a couple places. She was at Hoosier Harvest for like 20 years.
That's a big church.
I love the pastor there. But this is the beauty part about it, is I'm friends with all these pastors, and we all agree, like, if someone's not meant to be at our church, then we're comfortable with them going to our buddies' churches because we know that they're going to be fed and that there's going to be good teaching there. So right now, right now she's at Life of Love, which is my friend Jason's church. And she had really great things to say about it. She just said, I feel like I need to be somewhere starting something up that's not quite there yet. You know, she wants to be bringing the, like,
building
their Life of Love already operates really strongly in the spiritual giftings. She's looking for somewhere where she can grow along with that, somewhere that's maybe not operating fully in that. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know.
She wants to come into it with a group of people.
Yeah. And kind of like, yeah, exactly. And I'm like,
that.
I'm cool with that. Like, I think, you know, Jason and I have had this conversation a bunch of times about, like, we're not here to try to, like, take each other's people, but we're also not here to hoard all the people to ourselves. We both of our churches are growing right now. We both feel like we're in a place where, like, we can easily say to somebody, like, somebody came to my church and they're looking for something like way more charismatic. I'd be like, I got the right place for you. Go check out Life of Love. Same with, like, if someone came to Jason's church and they're like, I need something a little more,
liberal.
No. But a little more
LGBTQ.
A little more No. Come on. You're always getting me. A little more homey, family, kind of like
smaller vibe.
Yeah.
Closer people, intimacy.
We're about the same size church-wise, but like smaller vibe for sure. Like, and like more of an old school vibe, then he would send him to my way. And like he would trust that, like, he believes that I'm operating in my giftings. I'm preaching the word. I'm doing all these things. So we're comfortable with that. But that's like breaking this spirit of competition that's been over this, like, region forever, you know? And I don't think it's even just this region. I think that's just a common practice in, like, pastoral ministry, to be competitive and be like, oh, I got to have the most people and the most things. And I got to have.
That's just a practice of mankind.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. I'm excited about it. I think that there's something, I think there's something cool happening right now in Martinsville where the churches are like unifying and growing together. And it's kind of one of those like rising tides raise all ships kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. It's good for everybody. What I would have said a year ago, I would have said if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. But as I've discovered, that is not a groupthink type thing. That's about like happy wife, happy life situation. I just didn't understand the biology of geese, I guess.
I never even heard that saying before. You've been talking about it nonstop since you found out.
I know. It's a
I told my buddy from Mexico today about those caged in geese in Honduras.
Yeah.
Say no molestar el perro.
Don't mess with the dogs.
I told him that there were two geese in there. He thought it was hilarious. He was dying.
Maybe wildly. It's meant to be a joke. I don't know.
I feel like it is.
It's a pretty good joke. So what do you think about like the fivefold ministry and how the church should operate in that?
I don't know, man. I'd have to read Ephesians 4 or see the verse you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Yeah, I'll pull it up while you're...
But I've been reading through Acts.
Oh, me too, dude.
For the first time by myself. And reading the beginning of Acts is kind of crazy. Like, the structure... Like, people... I feel like my circle of church is like, if you want to know how church is supposed to be ran or done, it's like 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And I'm reading Acts for the first time. I'm like, this is way more helpful
right.
to what
yeah.
the actual church is.
It gives you a really clear... definition of what yeah. they're doing. And so I think I've said this before on here, and I apologize if I have. Maybe people have heard it too many times. I don't know. But the way that Peter comes into the scene, like, right, I think it's Acts 2 or 3, he just starts like quoting scripture, applying it to people, challenging them with it, mm-hmm. and then saying, like, now what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And then you've got people who'd be like, well, the Church of Acts, it wasn't about, you know, one guy standing up and preaching a sermon. And I'm like, bro, that's exactly what Peter yeah. does in that moment. He stands in front of a crowd. He reads scripture. He says, this is what this scripture means.
Yeah.
Now, how does that apply to you?
Yeah.
And challenges them to change their hearts about stuff. And so it's like, that is a sermon. Yeah. I don't know what to yeah. tell you. Okay, so Ephesians 4. Let's so we can get good context. I guess I'll just read the beginning. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. First of all, let's stop there. I don't think that happens enough in the Big C Church.
Bearing with each other
with patience and love. That's literally the debate scene on TikTok. Is all Christians just nagging each other constantly? Being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Whew, this is good. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive the captives, and he gave gifts to the people. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen. Whew.
I think you would have to really look deeply into the translations of what those things actually mean, like apostles and these things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What does it actually mean? But I mean,
but
what am I supposed to say? I think I agree with that part of the Bible.
Like, yeah, yeah.
No, I think that's interesting. I don't know if I just wonder what it means. You know what I mean? Like, we're so quick to look at stuff in Scripture and just like face it, just like front page of the book. I just wonder what it means, you know what I mean?
I'm also trying to be more in tune with the supernatural acts of God since our encounter in Honduras and like what we dealt with there, like, dude, I'm ready to see that stuff more clearly than I was before. You're going to probably make fun of me. I kind of think I might have possibly prayed with an angel on Thursday.
What?
Like, I don't know if you've ever had this encounter. Just the I'll tell you the whole story and then let me know what you think. It seemed really odd the way he was talking to me. So I had my Yahweh hat on with mm-hmm. the Hebrew on it. Of course, I have Hebrew all over me, so it's not like it's pretty obvious that I like the Hebrew. But I'm setting up the banner and stuff, getting ready, taking a picture for Facebook to say, mm-hmm. hey, we're out here now. Come and pray with us, whatever. Beautiful day, by the way, Thursday. Just awesome. It's like 60 degrees and mm-hmm. sunny is awesome. And then I get up and this guy's standing behind me. And I'm like, hey, man, what's up? And he's just smiling real big. And he's like, hey, I'm just happy to see somebody doing the Lord's work out here, man. Praise God. This is awesome. I was like, cool. Can I pray with you today? He's like, yeah, yeah. Pray that God's light will just pierce the darkness here and that God will just – that people will start operating in the calling that God has for him, and that just this whole place will just be overwhelmed with people working for the Lord. And I was like, yeah, cool, man. So we prayed.
Yo, that's how you responded. Yeah. I'm about to cry, bro.
I was like, that's great. So we prayed and I go, hey, what's your name, man? Cause I always try to like write him down so I can pray for him later. And he's like, oh, my name's Michael. I'm like, cool. My name's Warner. Nice to meet you.
Michael.
Yeah. 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 And so we're talking and I'm like, so, and I don't know why I asked this, because I never ask people this, uh-huh. but he was kind of still standing there after we had talked, and I was like, so, are you from here? And he's like, and he gave me this weird, like, cheeky look, and he's like, not exactly. And I go, okay, and I paused for a second, he didn't say, and I was like.
He just shoots up into the
sky. So I'm like, passing through, and he's like, you could say that. and then he's like, all right, man, well, God bless you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Really appreciate it. And then he just walks off. And I was like, what just happened? Like, no one else around. And this guy just, like, comes in. And just the way he was like, I'm like, are you from around here? And he's like, not really. And then I'm like, so you're just passing through? And he's like, well, you could say that. It's like, just the whole thing was so odd to me. So
that's
maybe, I don't know.
Wild.
I don't know. It was, but, you know, a few years ago, I would have not even thought anything of it. But just like I've been having so many radical encounters and like God has been doing so many miraculous things that I've been able to witness.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I don't know, man. And then then Bob comes up right after that. I'm like, dude, did you see that guy? He's like, what guy? I'm like, I don't know. Did you? I was like, I think I might have just prayed for some angel, dude. And he's like, cool. And I'm like, all right, well, all right.
He's like, cool. I did that last Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Bob is so spiritually, bro, so spiritually in tune. After Honduras, dude, I don't know. I've been.
My favorite thing from all of that, and I don't even think we've recorded since we haven't really talked about it, was we went to lunch with Bob after that. Like, you, me, and Tiffany and the kids, we all went to lunch with Bob. And we were talking to Bob about how cool that was, how awesome that moment was. And like, and you were like, my Zach impression's getting really good, by the way. So this is going to, people who are just listening, they're going to think you're talking. Okay. I was like, you were like, bro. And then when you started, like, how did you even know you were like started to speak in tongues? Like, what made you do that? And Bob just goes, I was speaking in tongues. And you were like, bro, it just like that. That to me,
yeah, that was spot on.
Helped legitimize it, right? Like,
yeah,
the fact that he was like completely unaware.
Now, when I tell that story, I end. I'm like, and he didn't even know he was speaking. He didn't even know,
right?
I'm like hands shaking.
It's
like,
so
it's
so cool. And so like now that I've had that, like you said, Bob's so in tune with that stuff that he doesn't even like notice it sometimes.
I know.
And now that I've had that experience with him, I'm like, okay, I'm more open to just like trusting God with this stuff. And what that's led to in me is just being more like ears open to what God's telling me to do.
Yeah.
And that's helped me with the whole control thing. So like instead of being like, well, I'm going to do this thing for this many weeks, and if it's not successful on my terms, then I'm going to cut it off or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about the podcast numbers sometimes dipping, and mm-hmm. then it's like, Okay, but I'm going to keep doing it. The prayer thing. There was a couple times. Now, the last few times have been great. There's been a couple Thursdays where I've been out there. I've prayed with maybe one person. One day, I think I just prayed with the people that were out there praying with me. And mm-hmm. that's it. The recovery group. Some days, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Some days, there's like two or three of us, and it's just the guys who like basically help me lead it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, what are we doing? And that's, in the past, that's been really discouraging to me. But because of these encounters I've been having and like just being more in tune with what God's doing, I've started doing this thing, and it's really helped with my control issues, is I'm like, God, you tell me when I'm done. I'm just going to keep doing this until you tell me to stop.
Yeah.
Because I'm not – I need to stop measuring all these metrics of like what's working, what's not,
mm-hmm.
and like just let God do what he's going
to
do.
Yeah. I think what seeing that did to me was it changed my belief. Like so today even, I'm sitting in the house with this lady, and the Holy Spirit's like telling me, like, pray with her.
Yeah.
Pray with her. So I'm looking for my opportunity while also listening. Like, I'm trying to, like, I care about what she's saying, you know what I mean? I'm listening and talking to her. And I just started thinking. I was like, she's talking about a sickness she's dealing with, and I'm like, I just read through Mark again, and I'm thinking, like, okay, do I really believe? Jesus says believe, like, when he makes that fig tree evaporate or disintegrate.
Shrivel,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking in my head, like, believe, like, do you believe? And I'm really thinking through, like, the impact of what seeing what we saw in Honduras did to me. And I think it really just changed the way I believe. Like, I seriously, like, you can believe something, you know what I mean? You can, like I believe, you know, Hitler killed 6 million Jews, but
yeah,
like, am I really, okay, this sounds crazy. I am sure about it, but I'm just using it as an example.
Careful now.
Okay, let's try something else.
No, I see what you're saying.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But hearing something versus experiencing it.
If I saw Hitler, the reign of Hitler, I would really believe it more than I believe it because I've been told it.
Right.
So seeing spiritual possession and, like, I don't even know what you call that, casting out a demon.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we witnessed the casting out of a demon
by
the Holy Spirit,
not
even by the people, not by us,
but
by God.
Right. Dude, so we just finished Acts chapter 9 in the men's Bible study, and Peter goes into Joppa, and he heals this guy that can't walk,
mm-hmm.
and then he raises somebody from the dead. Somebody in the church who, like, helped with the widows died, and he raises her from the dead. And then the entire village comes to the Lord and believes.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, man, that is, like... And so we had a, like, a really deep conversation on Wednesday about that. Like, what do you think it is about the way we, like, what keeps us, holds us back from operating in the full authority of Christ that he's given us? Because Peter says, like, every time he does it, he's like, Jesus Christ heals you. Yeah. And it's like, why are we so afraid to be conduits for Christ's power?
I'll tell you why. Because our faith kind of sits on that. You know what I mean? So, like, if I pray for this person to be healed and they're not healed, then I'm going to internalize that as, oh, well, this isn't real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we fear that.
Yeah.
So we try to live comfortably and hide from God proving himself to us.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what we should be seeking is the truth.
Yeah.
And
we stop even looking for opportunities to do those things because we don't want to mess it up and we don't want it to not happen and then us look bad. Or even, sometimes our intentions are good. We don't want God to look bad. And so we don't want people to think, like, well, God didn't heal him, so
like
he doesn't care.
Like, we have to defend
God. Yeah, and we don't. All we have to do is be obedient to what he calls us to. And if that means laying hands on people and healing them, then he's going to heal when he's going to heal.
Yeah.
We are just determining whether or not we want to be a part of that.
Yeah, right. It's interesting, though, that, like, healing is like a showing of God, an act of God that will bring you to faith in him. And when I'm talking to somebody and I'm not sure about their faith, you know what I mean? Like, when I'm talking to somebody, especially in a work setting, yeah, I like poke and prod at Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, I drop a little hint, so I'll be like, so the Apostle Paul says this or something. Yeah. I'll be like, this one lady was talking about how she freaks out over tornadoes. And for those who aren't in Indiana or in the States,
we've been having some tornadoes
all
like
week.
Crazy.
All week last week, we've been getting hit. Yeah. Wednesday, we got hit by this huge one at like 10 o'clock. I told her, I was like, I was straight asleep through it.
Yeah.
I was not awake at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, the Apostle Paul says to die is to gain.
Yeah.
And I just cracked a little joke.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure if she believed in Jesus. So I thought about when I was praying for her to ask, make it apparent, which God knows my heart, God knows my prayer for her, but to make it apparent in the prayer that I wanted her, I was invoking God to heal her on the terms that she would have a relationship with him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know, there's this guy, he's a young guy on YouTube and stuff.
Bryce Crawford.
Yeah, Bryce Crawford.
Uh-huh.
The way Bryce prays for people, I love it. Because he says, God, just give them an encounter with you in dreams and in visions and through your word. And I'm like, man, that is so powerful. Yeah. Because then it takes all the pressure off. It's like, I'm not like, yes, I want to be the vessel through which you encounter Jesus. I would love that. But I know that I'm not always going to be that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, then it's not like, well, if they didn't get Jesus from me, they're not going to get Jesus at all.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like, God, if this is not the time, then you on your time, mm-hmm, show them who you are. Yeah. And that's so much more powerful, man.
Yeah.
And that's just, he's just some young guy, just came to faith basically like a few years ago. Doesn't really, like, hasn't been like trained in like debate or seminary or anything.
Nah.
He's just trusting God.
Just loving people.
And loving people and showing them who Jesus is through the way he lives his life. And then his prayers are so captivating.
Bro, and he is like interviewing like the most secular people. Do you know what Adam 22 is? No Jumper?
Yeah.
He interviewed, and I loved No Jumper growing up. Like, BMX, skating, SoundCloud rappers, bro. That was like my life. And I loved No Jumper. And then I got saved, stopped watching No Jumper because it's like, it's gangsters on there, like porn stars. Adam 22 and his wife are both porn stars.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a kid and it's just messy. And he goes on Bryce Crawford's podcast and it was just a real conversation. Like, Bryce Crawford is like my picture of a youthful Christian, Christian that's my age, because that's kind of like how I am. Like, I want to talk to people. Like, I just want to have real conversations. And kid had a real life, and he's doing interviews now with some of the biggest people in pop culture.
Yeah.
What?
No, we just lost the video. It's okay.
Aww.
It's all right. Yeah, but
it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But I'm with you, man. That's like, if we could all be like that, like, what impact would that mean? But then also, we don't all need to be exactly like that, because that's what we're talking about, this fivefold ministry thing. We all have a different role to play in that.
Yeah, but I think it is like a personality I'd like to have. Like,
but I think that's an evangelist. Like, that's the evangelist role.
But there's different types of evangelists, you know what I mean? There's different, like, personalities of evangelists.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know, I just like that demeanor. I feel like that demeanor is more of a Christ-like demeanor, just a demeanor of calmness and realness, relatability, you know what I mean? And you're not going to be able to, not every single person is going to be able to relate to everybody, but every single person can have an open heart to everybody, you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Like, dude, Bryce Crawford sat down with a Muslim teacher. I can't remember what they're called, but he sat down with a Muslim teacher, dude. Did you see this video?
Yeah, what are they called?
Or was that God Logic? A sheikh.
Shaitan. I don't know. God Logic. I like God Logic.
Did you see that Bless God Summit Ruslan KD just put on?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's cool.
The David Wood Alex O'Connor debate, dude.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Do you know who David Wood is?
No.
You don't know who David Wood is?
I don't know who David Wood is or Alex O'Connor. Is Alex O'Connor?
You don't know Alex O'Connor, that atheist kid, dude?
No. No, I'm not familiar with either of these guys.
Alex O'Connor, the atheist kid, he's like all dressed up. His like name's like Cosmic Skeptic.
No, enlighten me. I'm not familiar.
Bro, this guy is huge in Christian media, bro. He's like the atheist debater.
Really?
He's like the young Richard Dawkins, dude. And he's just debating everybody. But apparently David Wood is this guy. Bro, his testimony is crazy. You got to watch it. he has some mental condition where he doesn't feel emotion.
That's crazy.
He like killed his grandpa or granddad or something, beat his head in with a hammer.
This is all news to me. You're telling me
this guy goes to prison and like his testimony is crazy. You got to see it for yourself. But he's like bunking with this guy that is a Christian and he's trying to compete with him, I think. So he's like reading more of the Bible than this guy. And he comes to Christ, this guy that can feel no emotion. So he's like an advocate for like coming to Christ with reason, not That's with cool. like emotion. Yeah.
That's happened many times in history. There's this book called The Case for Christ that was written by a guy who did not, he like was trying to disprove Christ using the text and then and was like, oh, dang, that's a real thing.
Dude, he wrote that book, you dingleberry. David Wood wrote that book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't that he was competing trying to read more.
Yeah.
It's he was competing trying to disprove Christ.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize David Wood was the guy who wrote that.
But he's not old, though. He's young. Was that an old book or a newer
book?
Case
for Christ is kind of old, I think.
I think he wrote that book.
Let's find out.
I'm pretty positive. But anyways, do you know who Apostate Prophet is?
Yes.
They call him AP.
Yep.
He just converted to Orthodox Christianity. But David Wood does a lot of stuff with AP. Like, they're basically like the same person. Two men, one flesh.
Lee Strobe wrote The Case for Christ. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's I was saying. I don't know this Wood guy, but
anyways, he debated. Yeah. This is huge. I can't believe you don't know this. Alex O'Connor is like the biggest atheist, like Christian debater right now. Debated David Wood, and apparently it went pretty well for David Wood.
That's awesome.
At the Bless God Summit,
that's really cool.
God Logic gave a talk. All types of people gave a talk. I think KB was there rapping.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love
you
that.
Saw KB live, didn't
I
you?
I did. It's very good.
In Indianapolis?
Yeah, it was a really, really good show. He just does a good job of, like, relating to people. Like, he's just so real. Like, he's just very real about stuff.
Yeah.
And he's got a cool clothing line.
Really? So,
yeah.
Did you get anything?
No, I haven't. No, I need
to. It's probably too expensive.
I'm not hip enough for that. I'm always trying to be the hip pastor. It's not working.
You are hip, bro.
It's not working. Hey, I found this place in the mall that sells three-piece suits for $300, dude. That's incredible.
Oh, I'm an idiot. For some reason, I was thinking about swimsuits.
No,
you're going to buy one?
Pants, vest,
is that a good
jacket.
Price, $300?
For a three-piece suit? Yeah.
That's a good price?
Dude, sometimes jackets are like $200. So like a three-piece suit.
So you're going to go get one?
I don't know. I gotta save up some money, see if that's something I want to do. But
I don't know what look I like on you more. I mean, not that it matters, but I think I like the vibey pastor look.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to avoid calling you a liberal right now. I like the Kamala Harris pastor look.
People would stop. You know, that's so crazy that you. I don't even know where you get this idea of me. But it people would definitely not think that if I wore a three-piece suit every Sunday. People think I'm like
Charlie Kirk.
I'd look like Charlie. No, I'd be like Elder Michael Jacobs over there.
Nah, bro, you can't do it. No, you can't.
Dude,
do
I would.
It,
I'd love that. You couldn't see that because the camera's off. But
I would absolutely come to your church every single Sunday if you were acting like that
if
guy
dancing
in the aisles.
Yeah.
Bro, we need to insert the clip of him dancing.
Yeah.
Oh
that's,
my gosh.
Oh, man.
In Honduras, we were up for too long laughing about that one night, keeping all the old people up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the old people. I got to stop calling people old, man.
I'm going to have to get a picture of you with this background so we can make the picture at least so people can see our new layout.
I know. This is lame.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened.
We're going to get some new cameras, folks. Yeah. Hey, donate at, I don't know, text us, email us. You know, I'll send you my Zelle. Or
you can email the pastoraggressive.pod@gmail.com. That's a good email to get a hold of us.
Yeah.
And we need people to start asking questions.
Yeah, we want
to
answer questions, man. Ask us your hardest questions because we are the two most informed scripture readers
on
the planet Earth.
That's
face.
No, that's man. I feel like right now I'm the most like amped up and hyped up I've been in a long time.
That's so crazy because I am totally on the opposite side of that.
Yeah.
Spectrum.
So what's going on with you? What's why are you so down? Is it because you're off the Zins?
That was part of it. I also fell back into smoking weed when I got back from Honduras.
Yeah.
I don't know why I fell back into it, but I think it was a mix of what I saw there and kind of like just trying to suppress my feelings so I could readjust back to being here again.
Weird.
Because coming back from Honduras for me last time, I didn't eat. I couldn't sleep.
Well, you're not eating now, right? You're fasting for 40 days or something?
No.
Okay.
For the parasites?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... And I've been... Ever since I've been back, I've just been down, man. Just having bad thoughts about myself. My work environment's terrible. I feel like I'm getting treated unfairly. It just feels like spiritual warfare in my life right now, bro. Yeah, for weeks.
I get that.
And I'm just empty. I'm tired. I'm doing too much all the time. And I don't enjoy anything I'm doing anymore. I don't enjoy the ministry I'm doing anymore. Like, it doesn't feel like heartfelt ministry. It feels like I'm, like, doing it. Like, I'm just going through the motions. Like, I'm just living life.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I'm just in the pit right now, bro. Which is okay. I just need to be patient. Everybody's giving me advice on what to do. I need to do this differently. And I think I just need to listen for God right now. He's breaking down this pain that I'm feeling. He's breaking stuff down in my life that needs to be broken down. You know what I mean? Stuff like my ego. Like, I'm totally on an ego, like, defeat right now, which is good, because I start getting into this churchy, like, you know, this churchy mindset of I'm better than other people because I've been a Christian this long and I know this much and I'm doing all this stuff. Look at all this stuff I'm doing for God.
Yeah.
God doesn't need me, bro. He doesn't need me one bit. And I'm having a Job. Not that God's taken anything from me. He's taken my identity from me, it feels like.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing, though, because we should die to ourselves.
I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good.
But it's not fun to tread through. And then all my friends that I work with are just pooing on me, dude. And it's just like, it's hard, man. It's hard dealing with what I'm dealing with in my soul and dealing with all this BS nonsense out in the world, man. Excuse my French.
Well, you could always call me. Like, you don't have to just talk to your friends at work.
Yeah, but this weird thing I'm in is, like, I don't even want to talk to anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I want to come to work. I want to get my work done.
Yeah.
I don't want to go home.
But isolation's kind of a tool of the enemy, though. Oh, don't you think? Like, I don't think that's healthy.
Well, that's why I came. That's why I feel like I'm going through the motions. Like, I'm not about to. Like, I don't think I shouldn't be doing the things I'm doing for the most part.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I've been really challenged on things I need to stop doing. Like, I haven't watched TV. Weirdly enough, like, this sounds so stupid and trivial, but I haven't watched TV since, like, going to sleep since I've been back for some reason.
Whoa.
Like, and that's something, a habit I've been wanting to break. Cool. I've been wanting to stop, like, having screen time and being watching or listening to music all the time or listening to podcasts. Now I'm driving around. I'm going 65 on the highway. Like, the 70-mile-per-hour speed limit, I'm going 65. No music, no nothing. Yeah. Just, like, driving. Just quiet, still, at peace. Not at peace, but just quiet and still. Definitely not at peace. Like, the opposite of peace. Like, my brain... I'm thinking so hard that my head and my brain's hurting.
Man.
I don't know what is
going
on.
That's crazy. I can't stand being in silence. I did, the closest I've been to, like, just being in my own head recently is, that book I just finished writing. I used an AI tool to read it to me. Uh-huh. What I had written, and so kind of like an audiobook. There's not an audiobook version of it yet. Eventually, once the book comes out, maybe there will be. I don't know.
Definitely.
But when I listened to that book, and it was cool to hear that, because, like, that was my biggest concern. Is I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and, like, while I'm writing it, I don't feel like I'm really doing a good job of writing it. But then when I listen back to it, I'm like, this sounds like the books I listen to.
Yeah.
And that was a good feeling. But that's the... All that to say, that's the closest I've been to, like, being in my own head in silence in a long time, is letting an audiobook of my own book play in my car.
At least it's not your own voice, bro. I can't stand just listening to my own voice.
That's why you don't listen to the podcast.
You
can boost our numbers.
Actually, in the last couple of weeks, I been listening to our podcast. So I like
that's
it.
Good.
I really enjoyed. I was laughing at one of our podcasts.
That's funny
because it was like jokes that I would make. I'm such an idiot. I was laughing at jokes that I would make that nobody or you wouldn't laugh at. I'd be like, so I'm just cleaning this garage at work with my headphones in, and I just have this giant smile on my face, just
laughing at your own jokes.
Yeah, and I remember I said out loud, I was like, that was totally funny.
That's good.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's fun though. It's fun to like laugh at your own jokes.
Bro, I love that we just come on here, bro, and we have a good time. We want to keep growing though. We want to outreach people because I love the texts we get. You know,
yeah.
The texts we get of how this episode helped or how this topic was useful or this or that.
Or just hearing us laugh at our own jokes. Yeah, fun. Like I've gotten that where someone's like, I just love hearing you guys laugh at your own jokes. Like that's. I'm glad somebody enjoys it.
Yeah, you're the pastor of a church, and I'm just like some 21-year-old rambunctious idiot, dude. Like,
but that's the real part of it, right? Yeah. I think that's so important, so vitally important right now, is that things stay real.
People need to see the real church, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is us, like, outside of the church setting, you know. We're less like churchy, you know what I mean?
I get that, yeah.
Which is sad, and something I think I'm working on in my life is just being the same person all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like being the person who's willing to pray with you at church, with you at your home, with you in your car, with you at the grocery store. Like being the same person who's going to like reach out in faith everywhere.
That's man, I'm really working with people in my church on this. Like, this is something that like we're all growing in together. But I had a guy come to me Sunday. He was like after the message, mm-hmm. and the message was I preached on the passage from Exodus where Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' arms for him.
Yeah, yeah, I love that,
dude. It's so good.
Yeah,
and it's the whole message was about like how we should support people in the church, and we should support leaders. And
that's
that
crazy.
Leaders can't do it alone, right?
Yeah.
And he had just that morning. Tiffany normally asks people in the church to pray for me before I preach. She had asked him, and he was like, "I don't really pray out loud. I don't feel good about that. I don't want to do that," which is fine. Like, he just was uncomfortable with it, whatever. He came to me after the message, and he's like, "Dude, I messed up. I blew it." And I was like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "I was supposed to pray with you this morning, and I couldn't do it. I didn't feel good about it. I didn't feel comfortable with it." He's like, "And then you preach that message," and I'm just like, "Man, I feel so bad because I wasn't there to like hold your arms up." I'm like, that's good though. Like that's how the word should be. It should challenge us. I said, don't let that like bum you out. And he texts me even later. He's like, "Man, I still feel bad about that." I said, "Don't let that bum you out. Just let it change you.
But that's good. That's good though that he like feels something about it. You
know
what I mean?
For sure.
So next time he's gonna know. Well, I'm just gonna do it.
Yeah.
Because doing this now is gonna feel better than not doing it later.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah.
Because that conviction will eat you up. For, yeah. Until your next opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's really how I feel God works, bro. He like gives us opportunities, and sometimes we don't bite.
Yeah.
We don't bite on the fish or whatever, on the hook.
Yeah.
A hook that's reeling you into a better life, not into a campfire.
Right.
Shout out campfire, no camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
that's okay. Criminal. We'll get it fixed. We'll get it fixed.
We will.
I keep saying that. We will though, for real.
I like really have to pee.
Well, we're about at the end here anyway, so.
Yeah, I hate to cut it short, man.
No, no, no. It's not short. This is good. I actually, so my friend Jason, starting this podcast, he's asking me a lot of questions, and he's like, what time do you shoot for and all this stuff? And I always tell him, like, between 45 minutes and an hour is good because people driving to work or whatever, they can catch a little bit before work, a little bit after work, or if they got a long drive, that fills up most of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No, this is good. I'm really glad that we did this. I'm glad that we changed things up a little bit. This is a fun environment. Yeah. I feel like
it's more personal too.
It even feels more like hanging out.
I feel like we should be holding hands as we do this, right?
No, that's good. I'm glad that we started this thing off with prayer, not like before we started. Yeah. And
intention, man.
Yeah, I think this is awesome. I think I want to keep moving forward, and like I said about everything else God's put in my life as ministry, is
do it till he says
I'm gonna keep doing it until he tells me to stop.
Yeah.
So
amen.
Even if nobody's listening. But you know, that's how God's word works, right?
We got people listening, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, with that, I'm just gonna close this out with our little closer here. Yes, that God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, and above all, stay relentless for God's glory.
Amen.
We got so bummed.